The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Sunday worship with the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are a principle-based, liberal, welcoming faith community located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania, and on the web at tpuuf.org. And this morning, thanks to our telecommunication devices and the internet, we are right where you are, inside the comfort of your home. We extend a special welcome to our guest worship leader this morning, Reverend Libby Smith. By my count, this will be the sixth time she's graced our pulpit at Thomas Paine. And we thank you, Libby, for making time in your schedule to conduct our service this morning. And we extend a special welcome, too, to anyone visiting us for the first or second time, or for the first time in a long time. If you're not already or not still connected to us, we invite you to fill out the virtual visitor's card. A link to that card will appear in our Zoom chat box. Filling out the card will provide you the opportunity to become more aware of our mission and our programs and activities here at Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. I'm Jerry Lazzaro. I chair the worship committee here at the Thomas Paine Fellowship, and it's my pleasure and honor this morning to assist Reverend Smith in a service capping our month-long exploration of December's worship theme, Stillness. This is our final worship service of 2020. I dare say that this year has certainly tested our endurance and our resilience and our ability to hold fast to core values of faith, hope, and love. We experienced extraordinary disruptions of our activities, routines, and plans, and faced great challenges to the well-being of our spirits and bodies, to the health of our economy, and to the integrity of our body politic. So as we enter the threshold of a new year, we may all need to renew our spirits, take a deep breath, quiet our minds, open ourselves to the deep stillness of winter, and perhaps most importantly, to listen attentively to the still, small voice within. As author and spiritual teacher Eckhart Tolle reminds us in his 2003 work, Stillness Speaks, when you lose touch with your inner stillness, you lose touch with yourself. When you lose touch with yourself, you lose yourself to the world. So again, let me welcome you this morning, whoever you are, wherever you may be on your life's journey, whatever you must in conscience, truly, responsibly believe, however you identify or express your gender, whomever you love, whoever loves you, we welcome you into this ever-widening circle of love, compassion, and justice. We invite you to worship with us this morning, beginning with the lighting of our chalice. Amy Nabot will light our chalice this morning.
The chalice and the flame together form the symbol of our free faith. We light our chalice this morning with words by Reverend Harold Babcock, minister of the First Religious Society, Unitarian Universalist of Newburyport, Massachusetts. Let us be quiet, without and within. Let the stillness be in us. Let the silence hold us. May we find the deep places of the soul and begin to let go of the distractions which plague us. May we let go of irritation, calm the confusion which inhibits us, let go of fear. The quiet is within us. The stillness is in us. The silence will hold us. There are deep places in the soul. Here may we find peace. May the light of our chalice remind us that here we may find peace. Preston Lutwiler will now light the peace lamp.
And now I will light the peace lamp. You will repeat with me the second verse and with all the people of the world. May peace be with us and with all the people of the world.
Now please join in singing our gathering song. The One Voice Singers of the Boulder Valley Unitarian Universalist Fellowship will lead us in singing hymn number 55, Dark of Winter. The words will appear in the video of this performance by the One Voice Singers. When our song is ended, Reverend Libby Smith will share with us a meditation by psychologist and author Emma Mellon.
Dark of winter, soft and still, your quiet calm surrounds me. Let my thoughts go where they will, ease my mind profoundly, and then my soul will sing a song of blessed song of love eternal, gentle darkness, soft and still. Bring your quiet to me. Darkness, soothe my weary eyes, that I may see more clearly. When my heart with sorrow
Mellon is a member of the Mainline Unitarian Church, and she wrote this meditation in response to the Soul Matters theme of stillness, which is also the theme of their service this morning. A meditation on stillness. And I'm going to read it twice, and I'll explain why during the sermon. The deep life of stillness waits for the shopping to be done, and the worry, and the lovemaking, and the hateful words and wars. It waits as our thoughts careen from present to past to future. This stillness has waited since beyond time, and certainly before we burst out of its womb with cries and flailing arms. It has waited for us to miss it, to feel the empty spot in the heart where nothing we plant grows, where all our efforts are for nothing, because this spot is the source. What grows here is bigger than we are, vaster than what we know. This stillness is the home of being, fertile ground, always fragrant with welcome, shocking in its simplicity and generosity. No trying here or thinking, no asking or hoping, just breath and being. The deep life of stillness waits for the shopping to be done and the worry and the lovemaking, and the hateful words and wars. It waits as our thoughts careen from present to past to future. This stillness has waited since before time, and certainly before we burst out of its womb with cries and flailing arms. It has waited for us to miss it, to feel the empty spot in the heart where nothing we plant grows, where all our efforts are for nothing, because this spot is the source. What grows here is bigger than we are, vaster than what we know. This stillness is the home of being, fertile ground, always fragrant with welcome, shocking in its simplicity and generosity. No trying here or thinking, no asking or hoping, just breath and being.
Honor the dark as you do the light. Receive the gifts that come to us by day and by night. I choose to honor the dark, uncertainty and change. Deliver us from fear until only love remains. Honor the dark as you do the light. Receive the gifts that come to us by day and by night. I choose to honor the dark, uncertainty and change. Deliver us from fear until only love remains. Honor the dark as you do the light. Receive the gifts that come to us by day and by night. I choose to honor the dark, uncertainty and change. Deliver us from fear until only love remains. Honor the dark as you do the light. Receive the gifts that come to us by day and by night. I choose to honor the dark, uncertainty and change. Honor the dark.
This morning's theme of stillness grows out of the Soul Matters program, and I know that many of you are familiar with that since your congregation uses it for monthly worship themes, and I think you've got a monthly discussion group on the theme also. I want to say just a little more about it for those who might be new to the program, because it's a wonderful program that provides packets of resource materials. There's a packet for worship planning, and there's also a packet for small group ministries to invite spiritual exploration around a specific theme each month. It offers a structure to help guide groups as they engage in deep sharing and deep listening. And it's been a great resource for congregations in our movement and has grown more and more popular. But since I left the work of serving congregations several years ago, before Soul Matters caught on in a big way, I didn't know much about it when someone from the leadership group of the Association of Unitarian Universalist Administrators reached out to me a few years ago. They wanted to start offering some Soul Matters groups for their members. Now, of course, their members are scattered all over the country, so they were going to do these groups by Zoom. And they asked if I would consider facilitating one of the groups. Well, for one thing, at the time, Zoom was something very unfamiliar to me, although that's really hard to imagine now. But I had used it only a few times for one-on-one conversations and had no idea what it would be like to do a group over Zoom. Of course, now I can't remember what it's like to do groups any other way. And I also didn't know much about Soul Matters, but I really liked the woman who called me with this request. So I said, well, sure, I'll give it a go. After they wanted to provide these groups for administrators because, if you think about it, church administrators are the ones who do all the logistical work and coordination to make sure that groups like this can happen, but they rarely get the chance to participate in opportunities like this. So I thought that was a great idea. And it has been a wonderful experience for me. I mean, think about it, spending several hours each month reflecting on really profound themes with a small group of incredibly interesting, smart, and dedicated women from all over the country. There's just nothing not to like about that. And one of the best things for me has been that each month it forces me to engage with a spiritual practice and a set of reflection questions around a theme that I might or might not choose to explore on my own, especially if it's a theme I find somewhat challenging. I thrive on structure and discipline, and I have a very hard time creating it for myself. So the discipline of this program has been a real gift. And it was especially interesting this month to reflect on the theme of stillness with a group of people whose jobs, by definition, make stillness somewhat elusive. It may have been even truer in pre-pandemic times, but even now, in the virtual world, the church office is still a real hub of activity. And almost everything in church life, especially in larger congregations, everything flows through that office and through that administrator. So church members and staff members bring their questions and their concerns and their needs, and they assume that the questions will be answered and the concerns will be honored and the needs will be met, and preferably all those things will happen yesterday. So it can feel a little chaotic for people doing that job. And yet, in spite of the occupational hazards of their work, or maybe in part because of those, these women had a profound sense of the importance of stillness. Some of them seek it out on a regular basis and find ways to make room for it in their lives very intentionally. Others reflected more ruefully on the fact that their identity was really rooted in their busyness, and they acknowledged a longing for more moments of stillness. One of the reflection questions asked, "What do you know now about stillness that you didn't know when you were younger?" And for some people in our group, the answer was simply the fact that there was such a thing as stillness. More than one of them talked about stillness as something they had discovered as adults, something they had no concept of as children. Childhood was too full of activity and doing things all the time. And only in adulthood had they come to appreciate stillness. That struck me in particular because my experience had been just the opposite. I grew up in the country. I spent a lot of time alone as a child. I knew stillness, and I liked it. I remember spending hours up in the top of one tree or another, just swaying with the branches in the breeze. I remember the deep hush of snowy days in the country, where not even a car would go by. No sound but the sound of falling snow, which is such a soft sound that it just emphasizes how silent the rest of the world is. I remember the lights on our Christmas tree when I was a child. We had a single strand of colored lights that were set back deep in the branches, and they blinked on and off. Not the bright, regular flashing on and off that you sometimes see in light displays. These bulbs blinked really slowly, and each one blinked with a different rhythm, so that the colors and the patterns were constantly changing and shifting in this slow, gentle, meditative pace. It was mystical. It was magical. And I would lie on the couch in the dark and just watch the shadows on the ceiling as the lights played through the pine needles and the colors and the shadows of the needles kept changing. Stillness in moments like those was a natural and celebrated part of my life. I relished it. It's as an adult that I have lost touch with stillness. Sometimes it's because there's just too much to do, which was a problem I don't ever remember having as a child. But lately, for me, that is not the issue. Because unlike some of you who have much more to juggle and manage during these trying times, I have much less. I just said to my husband this morning, you know, I just looked at my calendar and for the coming week, there's nothing on it. Nothing. It's the perfect opportunity for me to explore a deeper kind of stillness than I've experienced in recent years. It doesn't come naturally to me anymore, but preparing for this sermon seemed like a really good time to practice. Like I said, I really appreciate the discipline of the Soul Matters program, so I thought, okay, before I start writing, I'm going to just sit down by the Christmas tree and settle into stillness for a while. And here's what happened. Light the candle, settle into my rocking chair, calm down, breathe. Wait, shouldn't I go reread the description that I sent about this sermon so if I feel ready to start thinking about it while I'm sitting here, I'll have a sense of the direction I should be going, and maybe I should grab a notebook too in case I want to make some notes. Okay, now I can settle down. Breathe. Oh, wait, look, there's a bare spot on the tree over there. I'm pretty sure I have another ornament. I'm just going to go fill that in so I'm not distracted by it. That looks better. All right, no more distractions. Breathe. Oh, did I remember to send that email to Barbara? I promised her I'd contact her today. All right, that's done. Time to be quiet. Breathe. Oh, wait, didn't John say we needed milk? Where's the shopping list? And I am not exaggerating. This went on and on. You can tell I've never managed to maintain any kind of meditation practice. What finally settled me into some real stillness was Emma Mellon's meditation, the one I read earlier. I sat and I read it, first silently and then aloud. And then when I got tempted to go do something else, I read it again. I treated it like a text for Lectio Divina, as a spoken and silent meditation. And finally, my mind began to quiet down and I sensed the stillness that waited for me. Now, I'm going to come back to the meditation in a moment, but first I want to report that I have talked to a lot of people about this, and I am not the only person out there who resists the invitation to stillness. Lots of people are uncomfortable with stillness, with letting go of their busyness to quiet themselves. Instead, they fill up even their free time with distractions or mindless activities that make true stillness impossible. And sometimes they even recognize that they're intentionally avoiding or running from the stillness. And when I asked some people why they thought that might be, some said their lives just had too many demands to allow for the luxury of stillness, and they feared falling behind. One told me she was afraid to stop doing because her whole identity was so grounded in being productive that she didn't know who she would be if she stopped. Would she even still matter? Another told me that he was afraid of what he might find under the surface of his life if he allowed himself to enter that stillness. He was afraid of finding too much emotion, too many things he didn't want to feel, too much grief, too many unmet longings. Another said that a constant low-level anxiety made stillness uncomfortable to the point of painful, and it was easier to hide in all the distractions. And I could relate to each of those. And then someone told me that even though they constantly resisted the pull towards stillness, using the excuse of just having too much to do and needing to be more productive, at the same time, they were convinced that they would actually be more productive and less fearful in their life if they could cultivate deeper experiences of stillness and just rest in that sometimes. And I could relate to that too. When I finally settled in with Emma's meditation, it opened up space in me to be quiet. And each time I read it, I found new layers of meaning in it. That's why I wanted to read it through twice this morning, so you could also have the chance to hear it more than once. I found great comfort in her saying that stillness was waiting for us, as if it were infinitely patient, just waiting for us to finally settle down and notice it. If it takes us a long time, well, it will still be there. Still waiting. That reassured me so much. It said I don't have to go searching for it. I don't have to create it. I don't have to get all angry with myself if I take a while to get there. I just have to stop long enough to notice it sometimes, because it's already there. This stillness has it waited since before time. And then the first time through, I really chuckled at that line, it has waited for us to miss it. And I think I completely misunderstood it the first time through, but what I heard was, it has waited for us to miss it, as in to fail to catch it, like you might miss the bus or miss a joke, as though stillness was poking a little fun at me, already knowing that I was going to fail in my effort to sit still. That each time I gave in to distractions, it was saying, see, missed me, missed me. But on my next reading, I heard it very differently. Stillness has waited for us to miss it, meaning it has waited for us to feel the ache in our heart, to long for it, to miss it the way I miss my mother since she died, or the way I miss hugging my friends during this pandemic, to realize how much we need it. Stillness is waiting for us, finally, to remember that it is the home of being, the fertile ground always fragrant with welcome, shocking in its simplicity and generosity. No trying here or thinking, no asking or hoping, just breath and being. Those words challenge us, or invite us, to trust the stillness instead of running away from it. To trust that if we drop the busyness and the distractions and allow ourselves to sink below the surface of our lives, whatever we find there is gonna be okay. Yes, we may lose our sense of identity for a while. That's okay. Yes, we may uncover some uncomfortable feelings. That's okay too. If we can sit with them and settle into them and go a little deeper, there's a stillness that lies under all of that, a stillness that can nourish and sustain us. We don't have to try or think or ask or hope. We can just breathe and just be. Now, of course, this is a cornerstone of many spiritual traditions. In Buddhist meditation, we're invited to just sit with the reality of our lives, acknowledge our suffering without allowing it to define us, quieting our minds, and feeling ourselves a part of the essential goodness that is at the heart of all things. Christian contemplative prayer invites us to empty ourselves of distraction so that we can encounter the presence of God, not God the judge, but God the spirit of love, the ground of our being. Now, some people have an affinity for this kind of contemplation. Some find it more challenging, but still find it worth the effort to cultivate it. Others, like me, feel the need for it, but still resist it. And some people don't feel the need for it at all. And there's no judgment attached to any of that. One of the women in my Soul Matters group said she had a conversation with her son about one of the reflection questions, which was, is your identity more rooted in busyness or in stillness? And she asked her son, as he looked at her life, what did he think? Was her identity more rooted in busyness or stillness? And without missing a beat, he said, oh, busyness. I mean, he'd known her as a church administrator most of his life, after all. And when she asked, well, is that a good thing or a bad thing? He had to think for a minute, and he said, well, Mom, it just is. I was so touched by that answer of his, because I'm also rooted in an identity of busyness. And if after all these years of talking about it, I still haven't established a meditation practice, for example, chances are that's not going to happen. But that doesn't mean I can't find moments, like the moments I spent with Emma's meditation, or that amazing song by Leah Morris that we just heard, Honor the Dark. After Jerry sent me the link for that, I listened to it, and then I love Leah, and that was a new one for me, and I just kept listening as more of her music kept rolling on YouTube. And just as the slow reading of the meditation opened up stillness in me, so did the repetitive energy of the music that she was creating. And that leads me to another thought about stillness, because it's not the same as silence, or even quietness. Listening and chanting with Leah involves sound, and sometimes even motion, because it's very hard for me not to move when I sing to music like that. And yet it grounds me and it opens up a sense of internal stillness, a calm center that feels very different from my usual distracted self. And when I'm able to touch that stillness and rest in it a while, it changes something. I'm calmer, I'm less anxious, I'm more open. I have a clearer sense of what matters and what doesn't matter. And I can carry some of that with me when I go back to normal activity. One of the observations from the Soul Matters group that I lead was that stillness can be an inner quality that we carry with us even in the midst of sometimes frantic activity. And it changes the way then that we are present in that activity. I think we've all known those people who manage, even in really busy or even chaotic environments, to bring a sense of calm presence that helps make sense out of the chaos. Most of us have been soothed by the presence of people like that occasionally in our lives. When life feels chaotic and overwhelming, when there's too much to do or too much to worry about, stillness may feel like an indulgence, something we don't have time for. Or it may feel threatening, bringing us face to face with the things in our lives that we'd rather avoid. But if we take the time, even little bits of time, and let ourselves settle below all the anxiety, we may find that stillness is a place for preparing ourselves for the world, grounding ourselves in that place where there is no judgment and no expectations, so that we're stronger and more resilient to face the changes and the challenges of our lives. And so I circle back to the end of Emma's words. This stillness is the home of being, fertile ground that is always fragrant with welcome, shocking in its simplicity and generosity. No trying here or thinking, no asking or hoping, just breath and being. As we move into a new year, filled with uncertainty and change, may we each, in our own way, find the moments of stillness that calm and sustain us. May we find our way to that fertile ground and trust the deep healing of its fragrant welcome, its simplicity and generosity. May it be so.
Wow, thank you so much, Libby, for that thoughtful, insightful, and helpful reflection on the Soul Matters theme for December of stillness. A lot of ideas I'll carry with me through as we come into the new year. Now it's the time in our service for matters of the heart. If you have a joy that is lifting your spirits up, or a sorrow that is weighing your spirits down, or if you have some response, reaction to the messages that you've heard this morning, this is the time to offer them to the congregation. After we have a brief musical interlude where you can think about what you'd like to say, we'll open it up for people to participate. And John, right, will be explaining the process. Most of us are familiar with it, but just in case we need to be reminded, it'll remind us of how it is that we can participate in matters of the heart this morning. Thank you.
Our words of benediction come from the Reverend Maureen Killoran. As we weather winds of change, may we have wisdom to cherish moments of stillness. As we recollect times of challenge and of pain, may we remember also the graceful blessings of our lives. As we look to future unknowns, may we have the boldness to trust that there is unimagined good yet to come. We extinguish our chalice, but we carry its light in our hearts until we meet again. Go in peace.
Now, please join in singing our closing song, hymn number 391, Voice Still and Small. This song acknowledges the power of the still, small voice within to nurture and to sustain us. While our service will end with the singing of Voice Still and Small, please remain with us for important announcements regarding programs and activities at our fellowship, followed by an informal time of sharing online. And we invite all visitors included to join our virtual social gathering. And we again remind visitors, if they wish, to complete the visitor's card accessed through the chat function in Zoom. I'm going to play this song through once to reacquaint everyone with the melody. And then I'll lead in singing Voice Still and Small. We'll sing it through twice as the verse is rather short. Small, deep inside all, I hear you call, singing. In storm and rain, sorrow and pain, still we remain singing. Calming my fears, quenching my tears, through all the voice still and small, deep inside all, I hear you call, singing. In storm and rain, sorrow and pain, still you remain singing. Calming my fears, quenching my tears, through all the years, singing.